Well, amen. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
You sing about going to heaven and know you're going. Amen. Poor folks that sing about going to heaven and don't know they're going. That's a shame. But thank God we can know. I like that. We are quite a sound. This loud? No? Okay. I'll start hollering and we'll see how it works out. Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight. If you would, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. No. Make that 11. You won't find what I'm looking for in chapter 3. It says I can't read doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. I feel like that sometimes. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight to receive what you'd have for us. And God, thank you that we can come to you knowing that you're present with us. You care for your people, Father, in this little church, in this little town, in the middle of somewhere, and as far as the world's concerned, it's not a big deal. And God, as who we are and what we are, as far as things in the elements of all that's going on, don't seem like a whole lot. But Father, that has nothing to do with you. You are a great God, and we are your people. And you can do wondrously above all we could even conceive of. You are the God that matters. And we thank you that we have you as our God. We know that as we've come here tonight to open your words, we'll talk about them, Father. It's a very special thing. And God, it pleases you for your people to obey you. And I pray that we be encouraged in that way tonight. As always, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Paul says here that he's concerned about the brethren being messed with. Isn't that wild? I watched the brethren for a long time now. I've been saved since I was 20 years old. And the thing I've noticed is how often and how easy it is for folks to get sidetracked into things that are of no value and pointless and meaningless. And get caught up in stuff that they think is a great big deal, and it really doesn't amount to anything at all. And it's so easy to be messed with. And to be taken away from what that book says about the simplicity that's in Christ. I've said many times the Christian life is very simple, just not that easy. It's not easy because you're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. They are very good enemies. They are very talented in what they can do. They've been at it a long time, and you're really way over your head when you first get saved and start becoming aware of these things. Never be presumptuous about thinking you've got it made, got it figured out. You won't have it figured out. About the time you think you do, the devil will have something else to throw at you. Your flesh will do something really dumb. You'll have something happen. The world will take a left turn, and you'll be caught wondering what happened. And it just goes on and on and on. The Christian life is the only life that you can live safely and comfortably in this world, the only one that'll get you through all the mess, because it's the only one that's linked up with the Almighty Creator. It's the only one that's linked up to Jesus Christ. It's the only one that has to do with the one that knows everything and can get things done and get things happening. All the power, all the ability is in Christ.
Amen.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about this thing tonight, hopefully, and try to encourage you in these, some of these things. And he says, first of all, he says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Now, you'll find that the things that will come against you usually are not big things. You'll find that the things that you'll have the most problem with are not big things. Big things can happen to you. You deal with them. You move on. You expect to have issues with big things. You expect when something major takes place in your life, whatever it might be, whatever might change things, whatever might happen, whether it be a negative thing or a positive thing, you know that there it is. It's the little things that mess with you. And it's the subtle things. Usually, if somebody goes wrong and gets off track, it looks like a good thing to them when they start out. And it looks like a simple thing until it gets more and more complicated. For instance, when the devil messed with Eve, it's very peculiar how he did this. He shows up and talks to her, and where were they? Right where she wasn't supposed to be. He didn't drag her over to the tree to talk to her. He met her there. Why was she there? There was something about that tree that attracted her. There was something about what was going on there that she wanted. And I'll guarantee you, you mark it down, if this isn't true, I'd be surprised. Every time you've gotten sidetracked or gotten involved in something you shouldn't be involved in or got messed up somehow, it was because of something you wanted. I'll guarantee it. Watch your kids. Always wanting something. Never have enough. Always want something. And they feel like they need it, and they got to have it. Well, when you get older, that doesn't change a lot. It's just that the substance of it changes. The practicality of it doesn't change. I've told folks this, it just occurred to me a little while ago. I said, I always dealt with this, I realized the fact that you are not going to not do what you want to do. Amen? Most of the time, you don't make yourself not do what you want to do, because what you want to do usually is not a problem. Most of the time. What Eve wanted looked good to her. It was something that she saw that could benefit her. The devil was just bumping her along. He wasn't dragging her against her will. Don't forget that. He was dealing with her about something he knew she could be dealt with about, because she was standing there looking at it. And the devil knew she wasn't supposed to be anywhere near the thing. You know, the best way to deal with sin is to leave it way, way back there somewhere.
Amen.
Problem is that it's in your flesh. So to leave it alone, you got to leave yourself alone. So I tell folks this, I say, you can't stop doing what you want, just change what you want to do. Learn to want to do different things. In our house, our children were never asked whether they wanted to go to church or not. They just went. We never discussed it. It was never a concern. And they never asked not to. Never had an argument about it. So you're lucky. Nope. We established early on, this is what we want to do. We made it that we like to do it. And it was pretty peculiar how things worked out down the road. You'll find that your children will be like you. That's both irritating and opportunity. It's irritating because they're going to pick up the stuff you don't want them to pick up. But it's an opportunity because if you change yourself, they'll follow along. My son was about 2 years old. We have two sons. The other one was born. All the kids around there, he's the one that was there when this happened. This is why I remember it. A couple things. Lord said, what do you want them to be like when they grow up? I said, well, I want them to know you. I want them to do right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Various things. He said, well, let's go. I said, what are you talking about? He says, they're going to be just like you. So if you're not what you want them to be, get there. Because that's what they're going to be like. Changed a lot of things. Made me think a lot differently about things. When I began to realize the fact that they're not going to listen to what I tell them that much. You ever notice that about kids? How many times do you tell your child not to do something and they still do it? Doesn't it seem like, I thought to myself, I looked and I said, when is it going to occur to you that what I'm telling you to stop doing, I want you to stop doing? All the time. Not just when I'm standing here. Huh?
Nothing occurs to us. Whatsoever.
Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it very much. Yeah. We can move on now. But, I had two things happen to me in life that taught me an awful lot about my relationship with God. I got married. And I thought to myself, how does this work, God? I mean, seriously, what is going on here? I mean, I'm an only child. I just do what I please, you know. You start into this thing, and it's really, really, really great. And then after a little while, you start thinking, what is this? And the Lord said, well, I had the same issue with you. I wondered that myself for a long time. I said, you didn't have to bring that up. I want you to deal with her, not me. He says, yeah, that is the problem, isn't it? And then I had kids. And I said, God, why will they simply not do what they're told? He says, I've been wondering that about the whole human race for a long time. I have laid it out real clear. In fact, I can give them benefits from doing what I tell them. You can't. They just have to do what you tell them because. I can bless people for doing what I tell them, and they still won't do it. He said, including you. So, but the Lord was gracious enough that he dragged me through a couple knot holes to teach me something about himself and changed a lot of things. And he taught me some things about Christ and about this life. And he taught me that if I want things, I'd flat better make sure they were worth wanting. And if I want something outside of Christ, why would I do that? And if I didn't want what he wanted, first of all, what else that I wanted would matter? You see, Eve wanted something God didn't want her to want. She wanted something that he had told her would destroy her life and the life of her family. But she did it anyway. You know why? She really didn't believe God would do what he said he would do. She must not have, or she had a complete mental breakdown. But the devil's subtle. He's tricky. But he can't make you act against your will. So he tries to change your will to bend to him. He tries to persuade you against God. What does the devil get out of that? I don't know. It seems that what he's trying to do is steal the glory of God and cause people to follow him instead of God. The problem is he has nothing good to offer them. But God will not force you to follow him. And he will not trick you. He will not mess with you. God deals with you straight up. This is how it is. This is what you got. This is how it works. And a lot of folks seem to not be able to deal with that. They want something complicated. But the Christian life is not complicated. Some people try to make it that way. As a Baptist, do you realize the fact that no preacher has any power over you whatsoever? You were given God. You have the same thing that anybody standing in this pulpit has. So what do? Well, you need to study the Greek. What is that about? Trying to have something that's not commonly held by the folks. This idea of eternal security, you realize Baptists are the worst people to try to lead? Because we can't make you lose anything. We can't mess with you at all. You can do absolutely everything against God and still go to heaven. There's no power there. I am not the kind of preacher that wants to cause people to be afraid of God, that God's going to do something to them. I've heard people say this, basically, That if they, I heard a preacher say this one time. He said he went to visit a woman in his church who was getting her tithe taken out at the hospital. What did he say? Well, she wouldn't tithe, so she had to go to the hospital and pay it there. I don't agree with that. I don't think God does that to you. I read in the Bible where it's talking about sowing and reaping, and you sow, you reap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You know, that's a promise. That's, man, load it up. Give. You can't outgive God. You should try sometime. You just see how, see if God's going to, now this is not a business thing, okay? It's not an investment. Oh, if I give this much, I'll get that much back. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make money. No, that's not what it's about. You should do what God tells you and see how it works out. God's not going to whack you. I've watched people that they didn't give. They didn't do anything. They were fine. Now, I've watched some other friends of mine, a couple friends of mine, actually, wouldn't give. I know they wouldn't give. I was a pastor. And I watched them have to pay money out hand over hand for their children because their children wouldn't behave. Because they keep bailing them out of this and bailing them out of that and the other things, so on and so forth. They went through a pile of money that way. Now, I don't know that that's because they wouldn't give. But I noticed, I told them, you might should think about that. But in all honesty, I can't get up here and tell you that God's going to punish you if you don't do this or that other thing. You live by grace. Amen. You're under grace. Do you realize what you can get away with in grace? A lot, way too much. You're not going to reap the right things, but you're still going to heaven. How bad can it be? Folks say, well, you got the judgment seat of Christ and lose rewards and so on and so forth. You're still going to heaven. Well, we won't get to reign with Christ in the millennium. That's over in 1,000 years. You still got the next eternity in heaven. How bad can it be? It ain't that bad. Yeah, there's things God promises you, and I'm of the nature that if God promises you something, take it. Yeah. Worry about the details later. Well, what will it mean? Who cares? If he wants to give me something, I'll take it. Then I'll ask him about it later. Take it first, talk later. Because basically, whatever God wants to give you, it's going to be worth having. So if he offers you something, there's a deal, take it. Jump right on it. Then sit there and figure it out later. But have it first. So, the devil messed with Eve and distracted her away from what God expected of her. And this is how God wanted their life to run. You don't mess with this tree. You go over here to the tree of life and take a bite and live forever in a perfect environment with never a problem ever. Does that sound complicated? Could you handle that? If you had a perfect body, a perfect mind, in a perfect environment, and could live forever with never a problem, could you buy that deal? Could you get in on that? Yeah. I think you could. She couldn't figure it out. She thought she had a better deal. The devil never offers a better deal. It might be good for the moment, but it will not last very long. And usually it doesn't last that long at all. She didn't get what she thought she was going to get at all. The Christian life is simple. Turn over to John 1 for just a moment. Gospel of John chapter 1. Come down to verse 15. It says there, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And watch it, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace, verse 17, very good verse, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the law was complicated. Amen? I mean, you had to have a priest tell you what offering to make and had to get it and set it up and come with so much and do this and that the other thing. You had to watch out for your neighbor. You couldn't eat milk. You had to be careful if you put milk on the table and meat at the same time. Well, we had to start over again and cleanse it because we messed it up. Couldn't wear wool and cotton together. I mean, it wasn't... Of course, we got that taken care of now. We don't wear anything natural. And, you know, they have all kinds of things that were specific. Kosher, eat kosher, etc. Couldn't eat fish. If you found... blood on something in the field, you had to work it out and do something with it. You couldn't, you know, you just had all kinds of stuff that you had to pay attention to. None of us pay any attention to most of that at all. Amen? We don't have to worry about it. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, grace is simply the work of God. Grace is simply the idea that God wanted something done, so He makes it possible for us to have it. He wanted us to have eternal life, so He made it possible. When you find Paul having to go preach the idea of the body of Christ to people, he was given grace to do that. Didn't say he was given intelligence. Didn't say he was given a special talent. He was given grace. Grace means that God would make it possible. Almost every place you'll find it, you'll find that grace has to do with God causing something to happen that He wants done, that we can't do, but that He'll do if we'll cooperate with Him in it. It's a strange concept of how things work out. But you live in the age of grace. In other words, it's the work of God that works in you. Amen. He only requires you to cooperate with Him. He'll take care of the issues. Given it shall be given unto you. Amen? How's that work? Well, give. Find out. As I mentioned in 2 Corinthians, the idea of giving there, it says that you're supposed to give so you have all sufficiency in all things. And be able to give back to every good work. The idea is that we need to get the work done. The idea as a Christian that you just cease to worry about you. God will take care of you. God's promised to take care of you. Most of us spend our lives devoted to taking care of ourselves and neglecting the things of God. God promised to take care of us. We need to tend to the things of God primarily. In other words, spend more time concerned about God than you are about yourself. We in America devote ourselves and our lives to accumulating those things that we think we need to make sure we're secure. And we don't tend to God. If you'll learn to take care of what God wants, He's promised to take care of you. Amen. It's just that He may not do it like you think He should. I'll guarantee you. With Eve, He'd have done it better than she thought He could. Far better. She had such a better life if she had just listened to God than if she listened to herself and did what she thought would make her, give her the greatest benefit. Faith matters, folks. Believing God matters. It'll change your life if you'll let Him. But the Lord says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you understand that if you have a Bible, you are an exceptional individual? That God's people before Christ didn't have a Bible. But isn't it interesting that one of the first things that happens after the resurrection is they start writing things. You have the Gospels. You have the epistles. Then you have the book of Hebrews. Then you have other epistles. Then the book of Revelation. All that occurred within the first 100 years after Christ. About 70 years after the resurrection. Isn't that wild? Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. He was given instructions and so on and so forth. And then they wrote them down and took care of that. And if you read and you go through there, there's no evidence for hundreds of years that the common people spend a great deal of time reading about the things of God, if at all, ever. But the body of Christ is given writings immediately. And the revelation is written down, not spoken by a prophet, is written down. And you can study it and examine it and watch over it and read it. That Bible you have is based upon writings that are 2,000 years old. That's pretty cool. They've been around for 2,000 years. Do you realize how many people have tried to destroy the Bible? Mess it up, corrupt it, get rid of it, burn it, throw it away, kill people who believed in it, etc., etc.? Still here. You have the truth in your hands. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. The Lord says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you have the truth?
Amen.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Isn't it a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Does it stimulate you? Does it stir you? When you open this Bible, do you realize the fact that you are looking at the truths of God? Folks say a lot of things aren't in there. Exactly. You didn't need it. And here's exactly what you need.
Amen.
Very precisely put together. Very carefully handled. The wording's very exact. And you can look at it and read it. So you realize the fact that the Christian life is really pretty good. Because you've got grace, God's help all the time. You've got God's provision, His leadership. Hey, He put the Holy Spirit in you. I think sometimes He didn't trust us out of His sight. So He just moved in. Amen? He said, well, if they're going to get anywhere with me, I better stay where they are all the time. But you realize the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you, guides you into all truth? When you read that Bible, did you ever read the Bible before you got saved? Kind of a tough book to get through, wasn't it? I've tried it a couple of times before I got saved, and I think I usually turn to something like Genesis 5, 1 Corinthians, or 1 Chronicles 3, or the book of Matthew. And I was going, after about 5 minutes, I said, this is ridiculous. But after I got saved, flip, 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 wow, this is good stuff. It's great, man. It made sense to me. And when somebody got up and preached and taught it, I said, I wrote it down. I got it. I understood it. Blew my mind. The Holy Spirit was given to you to comfort you. Isn't that wild? They didn't have that in the Old Testament. Why do you have a comforter? Because this life, for a Christian, is going to be a challenge. Because you're fighting, like I said, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Furthermore, if you read about the life of Paul, you get the impression it wasn't all that comfortable doing what he did. The other thing about grace is that God is going to ask you to do some things that you're not going to like. And the people that you're going to have to go see aren't going to like you for it. So he gives you his presence to compensate. Now that's serious compensation. If you ever come to the place where you have a sense of his presence as if you're standing in heaven in the throne room with God alone, you can do anything. Nothing will bother you. Nothing will be an issue. Nothing will overcome you. You'll feel like you can walk on water. You'll want to try. Just because. Christians don't have that. They don't do that. But that's why you have the Holy Ghost. And it's not just so when you get together in church, you can have a good time. It's so you overcome all the time. He gave that to you to make it simpler for you. Less complicated. The way's clearer when God's in you. We have a problem with that because, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, it's like my conscience became 10 times the size it ever was. It just seemed like everything I did had to be analyzed and considered in light of all this new truth. And it's like, let's see, do I buy that candy bar or not? Well, you know, it's not the best thing for you. And, you know, it is a waste of money. And just send it. It's, you know, a whole quarter that's going to be thrown away. I'm thinking to myself, would you get over it? Good night. Seriously, it was aggravating. But I needed that to become aware of so many things in life that we take for granted that probably we should pay attention to. And doing things and dealing with people and places we go. Think about it. My life was always better when I didn't have a television set around. When our kids were little, we didn't have one. I don't want them watching it. They grew up playing outside. We got, and I was a Baptist, so if I got a television set that was black and white and the antennas only worked, you know, for a little bit, and we only got two channels, and that was we had to look through all the dots. It's more spiritual that way. You know, you have to fight with it. That's spiritual, I guess. So, I like games. I like stuff like that. And I bought the boys an Atari. How many of you are old enough to remember that? Yeah, I thought so, yeah. I can tell. The gray hairs always remember them. And they were playing with it one day. It was a Saturday morning. I was going someplace, and I was going to bring it with me. They were about, whenever that was, they were 4, 5, 6, someplace around there. And they're sitting there doing their thing. So it's just a simple little mindless game. And they're doing it, da-da-da-da-da. I walked behind them. I said, fellas, put that away, because we're going. Yeah. I said, that's once. I said, put that away, turn it off, we're leaving. Yep. I walked over, pulled the plug out of the wall, they never played with it again. Said, nothing's going to own my children's mind except me. Nothing. And put it away, and they never played with it again. So, well, that was mean. Nope, did them a favor. Well, you were hard to get along with. You're right. You think I'm aggravating now? You should see me then. I've got a lot of grace since then. Because nothing is going to overcome my relationship with my children if I have anything to say about it. In the same token, why should anything overcome your relationship with God? He is not going to treat you that way. He's not going to pull the plug. He's going to let you decide. And the beautiful thing about Christianity is you get to decide so many things. You could never decide under the law. So that's not easier. Sure it is. A lot easier. Because you can choose righteousness all the time. Because He shows you what it is. Helps you understand it. So the conscious thing was good for me. It helped. So the Holy Spirit's in you to comfort you, to teach you, to show you, and to bother you. He should. It's not complicated. Keep it simple. Listen to Him. I tell folks, you need to learn how to be led of the Spirit. You need to have a sense of the direction God would have you to follow in life by the Spirit. Folks say, well, the Bible's got to speak to me. And there are things where it can, but listen, God deals with you individually and personally. It's not a broad spectrum. It's not this guy finds this out, everybody has to do it. That's not the way it works in Christianity. I wish it did. It'd be a lot easier. I could make folks behave better. I just say, God told me, therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt, etc., etc. And you'd have to do it because I said so. I tried that. Everybody looked at me and said, that's funny. So anyway, because God doesn't do that most of the time. I've sat in church services and had God speak to me through the preacher. But he was speaking to me. I like going to church. I've met God there a few times. I've been in church services, man, where the Lord showed up. And I don't know if he showed up to everybody else like he showed up to me. But when I went home, he was still there. And I sat down beside my bed and I said, hallelujah, what is this? Woo-wee. This is wild. Do you have an understanding of God's presence like that? It's individuals, personal.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you just do whatever you please, whenever you want to. It means that you can understand things that God wants you to know. The Christian life is not complicated. It's just not easy because it's against us. It's against who we are. It's inconsistent with the natural man. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. They're foolishness. Foolishness. You tell people out there that aren't saved, you say, I give X number of dollars to the church every month, every week, every day, however it works out. But I give X number of dollars. Whenever I give X number, they'll say, what for? Tell them, I witness to people. And they say, well, I don't agree with that. I say, what do you believe? Well, I believe blah, blah, blah. I say, who do you tell about it? Nobody. You don't believe it very much. It doesn't really matter. If you're not willing to talk about it, what's the point? I believe something that caused me to want to say something about it.
Amen.
Why don't you? You ain't got what I've got. What you have doesn't matter. You don't get the second chance to witness to them right away when you talk like that. But you've made your point. Seriously, I have done some dumb things with people. Anyway, hope God overlooks it and is merciful to them. But you've got to understand the fact that as far as the Lord's concerned, this thing of Christianity is a wonderful concept. It's just against you every step of the way. It's irritating. Paul says over in Romans chapter 7, great passage of Scripture. Oh, and verse 10, it says, and the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. Let's come down a little farther. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. No, let's go again. For we know, verse 14, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for that which what I would, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. You ever felt like that? Isn't that irritating? So, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Did you ever have that dawn on you? I mean, did you ever just look in the mirror and say, you know, there is nothing good about you at all. I can't find any redeeming qualities whatsoever compared to Christ, compared to what God expects, compared to what I can be. Why am I like I am if I have the potential that God's given me in Christ? What is my problem? I'm just not paying attention. I'm aggravated with everything being against me. I just every now and then just want to call a truce I just want to give up and quit. I just want to do something else. I just want to be free of this mess. But you won't be until you're dead. That's why you reckon yourself dead. That's why you stop fighting with it. I told a friend of mine last night, I said, when the flesh bugs you, don't fight it, reckon it dead. If you're fighting it, you're giving it justification. And you're going to lose. You won't win. God doesn't want your flesh fixed. He wants it dead. Amen. He doesn't want you to make it better. He wants you to forget about it altogether. You can't fix it. The reason I preach like I preach is I hear an awful lot of preaching from people that makes you think you can be better, and you should be, and you have the power to increase. Well, you do. You should be able to. I mean, you can read self-help books. People do it all the time. Well, why shouldn't we? Because that's not spiritual. That's not of Christ. That's not going to bring glory to God. That's going to just exalt you in your own mind and make you think you're somebody. Amen. You're going to become self-righteous, arrogant, and hard to deal with. And God's going to be able to do nothing with you. God can do nothing with self-righteous people.
Amen.
They're the most difficult. That's who He whacked the hardest in the Bible. You're supposed to be right in Christ. Right for His sake. Don't ever become somebody. Don't ever think that what you do and your righteousness and your behavior and so forth is because you're such a great person. Don't ever compare yourself to the brethren and say, I'm better than they are. Because that's when you pretty much draw the line between you and God. The Bible says He giveth grace to the humble. Pride and spirituality, or humility, I should say, and spirituality, two things about the time you think you've got them, you don't anymore. When you find out you're there, you're not anymore. And the Christian life is all about Christ. It's not about us. The only person people have to find is Him. We talk about trying to win them to ourselves first. Do you know why we do that? Because we will not get the power of God all over us, so when we talk to them, they're under conviction. We will not have God with us to affect them. We will not take the time to become the person that has God all over them so that when you get around anybody, it bothers them. We want to do it our way. We want to keep control. We want to make it work. We'll figure it out. How to do it without God. We've been doing it for centuries. It's what mankind do. They get to a certain point where they figure out how to have it without God. They get it. It goes into the tank. It gets worse and worse and worse. Then somebody wakes up and says one day, hey, we need God. And we have revival. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, let's need God. That's where we are. We're there. Not everybody's realized it yet, but we're there. This is one of those four-hour messages. Did you bring lunch? We'll try to get it done here. The nature of the Christian life is simple. It's an experience of the love of God. Isn't that something? How hard is it to be loved? Not hard at all. It's very easy. You know, if somebody loves you, that's far better than you loving somebody. If somebody takes the time to love you, that's a wonderful thing. I've heard of guys, you know, messing around on their wives and so on and so forth, and I thought to myself, why would you offend someone that loves you? Seriously, why would you do that? Because it's very hard to find people in this world that really will love you. But God's chosen to love you of His own free will. He doesn't love you because you're lovable. Aren't you glad you don't get anything from God because you're somebody? Aren't you glad He gives it to you because He's somebody? First time I was saved, when I was first saved, I should say, because you're only first saved, you're never twice saved. Or three times saved, or four times saved. Anyway, I never lost it, so I guess I wouldn't know about that. But If you're, when I was first saved, that's the first time I knew somebody loved me. That's the first time I'd ever fully experienced true, honest, sincere love. Now, my parents loved me. I know they did. My father loved me greatly. My mother loved me. I know that. I'm not questioning that at all. But when I met God, I found out what love was about. We love Him because He first loved us. I couldn't love anybody until I experienced the love of God. I hesitate. I wouldn't be married. Are you serious? I wasn't going to get married before I got saved. Because I said, well, I'm not going through that. My experience in life, seeing that happen, was ridiculous. I said, I'm not putting up with that. Forget that. I'll just be alone. I don't need the aggravation. But when I met Christ, man, oh, He filled me up. You know why it's easy to walk with God? Because you don't mind hanging around people that love you. You don't mind that at all. I mean, if you walked into the house and you had 40 people there that just waited for you to show up because they loved you so much, they just wanted to see you, would you go home a lot? Yes, you would. Yes, you would. You'd hang around there a lot. You go to churches. You know why a lot of folks don't go to church? They don't sense that love. I don't like being around a place where I'm told to behave towards God properly so that God will be kind to me. I don't like that at all because I've never seen that in the Scripture. And I don't want anybody to think that they have to earn that. God gives it. He loves you because He chooses to. Amen. Turn to 1 John. You want to see a great passage of Scripture? 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He loves you enough to fellowship with you. He lets you fellowship with Him. Well, that's crazy. Imagine being in a church where folks loved each other so much because the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts. They loved each other so much that when somebody came in, nobody ever questioned it. They just came in, wow, you go, those folks like you. Man, they got the real deal. You know why you're supposed to get along with one another? Forgive one another? Be kind to one another? Because that's what people that love people do. Why you esteem others better than yourself? Why there's supposed to be no strife among you? Because when you love someone, you don't want that stuff. You're kind. He says, this then, verse 5, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Ouch. That's a tough verse. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Ain't that something? Is that hard to do? Is it hard to be loved? Simple, isn't it? Not complicated at all. The key to that is not waiting for someone to love you. It's to go about the countryside loving people. Because don't you know it's better to give than to receive? Hallelujah. We Baptists, we forget that. Folks have to earn our love. They have to be good. According to our standards. Really? You ought to repent of that. If God will love them, you should too. You're not better than God, are you? He loved them enough to die for their sins and gave his son for their sins. Who are we? It's not complicated. It's just not easy. Well, I can talk to you about the body of Christ, how you're all fellowship, you're all in this thing together, and how all the parts of the body work together. You know, there's no part of your body that's there for itself, not one piece. Nothing. There's not a cell in your body that's there for its own benefit. It's there for the benefit of the body, every piece of it. If there are things in there that aren't for the benefit of the body, that's called disease. That's a problem. The body is who we are, and our business is Christ. We're his body, of his flesh, of his bones. I don't understand that, but I don't have to. Is your Christianity what it's supposed to be? Probably not. Nobody's is. I don't want to ever think anybody would use me as an example of what they should be like. I would say I'm the last person you want to pick. You don't want to follow me around. You won't like it. But I have the same God you have, and the same potential any of us have is in Christ. And the things I've talked to you about tonight regarding him and how you should walk with him are things that you think about. They're things that are of the mind. And the devil, the world, the flesh, all mess with your mind. Just like they beguiled Eve, they mess with your head. They're trying to persuade you there's something better than Christ and that there's a better way to walk than Christianity and there's a greater truth, there's something else out there that matters. And there isn't. There isn't. There isn't a thing. Young people spend their first few years trying to find out what it is in life that really matters. Jesus Christ. Start at 10, okay? At 10 years old, get hung up on Jesus Christ. And just stay there the rest of your life. That you'll arrive far faster than anybody else.
Amen.
If you're not 10, start now. If you can't start at 10, start now. And just realize the fact that there's nothing on this earth that matters outside of Jesus Christ. And everything is relative to him, not you. And let him be the one that comforts you and encourages you and watches over you, loves you, etc., etc., gives you all you need. And don't listen to the junk. Don't be messed with. Get your Bible. Spend time with it. Learn to pray. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to let the Spirit lead you and guide you. Understand those things. And be careful what you want. Very careful what you want. Very careful. You'll tell God, well, I need to take that job or I need to do this thing or I need to go here for that because that would be better. I've done those things. You've done them too. And I got there and I found out it wasn't. And God said, you know, if you'd asked me first, I could have told you. I've done things that the Spirit said not to do. Why in the world would you do that? I don't know. Don't follow me around. And I'm still paying for him. Would have been a whole lot better if I'd listened to him. And I'm not telling you what they were. They weren't wickedness, okay? It won't usually be some bad thing. It's just something that distracts and causes difficulty in life that you didn't need. Anyway, like I said, this is a 4-hour message. I'll have to cut it down. Why don't we just stop here? Would that be better? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness towards us. God, thank you for these people. And thank you for their kindness in sitting here tonight. Thank you, Lord. This has not been a jump up and down message. This has not been anything that really are going to razzle anybody's dazzle. Well, Father, this is just what's on my heart tonight. And I thank you, Father, that we can think about these things. And thank you, Lord, for the liberty you give us. that we can talk about these things. Thank you for these things being real. And thank you, Lord, for letting us have all that we have in Jesus Christ. Surely, you've got the best idea. I wish Eve had not paid attention to the devil. We'd be a whole lot better off. The whole world would have been better off, and a lot of folks wouldn't have gone to hell. God, help us to live our lives so that we could never be held accountable for people not finding the truth. I pray for your mercy upon us. Bless this church. Increase it. As always, we thank you for your fellowship and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.